We'll be starting right at the beginning with the Kyrie. There will be a hymn after the sermon out of the red book, so you will also need a red hymn book, and if you don't have one, this is a perfect time to go grab one. Generally speaking, whatever's on kind of that presentation table there will be what you need for worship. Whew. All right, with that, let us take a moment to gather ourselves into this space and into this community. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We join together in singing the Kyrie.
In peace, in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
I'd like you to stand. Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated, and we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them, who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer, or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, who shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The second reading is from Colossians, chapter 1. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the dominion of the beloved Son of God, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Christ all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. Christ himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ to reconcile God's own self, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
As you feel comfortable, you're invited to stand as we join in singing the gospel verse found on page 8. Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They cast lots to divide his clothing, and people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over Jesus. It said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. Again and again and again, I think we humans get a really great idea, you know, like a really good, like life-improving kind of idea, an idea where we can create right out of wrong, and then we institutionalize it, you know, for better effect, to keep this good idea around. Well, only we forget to check in for years, even decades, to see if this idea is still righting wrongs. You know, to make sure that it's still doing life-improving kind of things. Like, checking in to see if there's any abuse of power or something like that. Like, for instance, generally, some form of government is good, right? To maintain order and to guard safety. And yet there have been monarchies and even some democracies who have had leaders run amok with power. Unchecked, selfish, and myopic, they ceased to see the unjust effects of their power-grabbing ways. So the people begin to rise up, right? They begin to speak out, calling for a change. We want a different leader. We want, in Jesus' day, a new kind of king, they cry. And that's what people saw in Jesus in the first century. Because Jesus offers a very different kind of leadership. His first followers became enamored of his power-emptying ways. So his critics then became fearful, and they sought to take him down. His enemies tried to mock Jesus by calling him the King of the Jews as they killed him. But his followers were praising him for being their hoped Messiah. You've probably heard that word connected to Jesus, Messiah. It actually means the anointed one. And that's what you did with kings. When kings rose to power, they would be anointed, set apart. So by calling him the Messiah, they're essentially saying, yeah, this is our new king, our new leader. So the question for me is, do we continue to call him king now? If we're checking in on this life-giving title that people have given him, is this still helpful language for us now? I will be honest, and perhaps you're not surprised, that I'm not a fan of the Christ the King language, but I want to say I get their point. I understand the initial intent. People liked the leadership that Jesus brought, and the faithful called for him to lead in these new ways, even as king, because they recognized and trusted his leadership to mock the whole system of royalty and its abuses. And they believed him that he would lead in a better way. So, leave it to the church to institutionalize it, right? Today is Christ the King Sunday. Did you know that? I think last year I avoided it altogether because I have issues with it. But there's an arc to the church here in liturgical churches. It begins next week with Advent. That's you might hear me say Happy New Year because I'm a dork and I do it every year. So it happens the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, and that's sort of a preparatory time. And then there's Christmas, And then there's the 12 days of Christmas, and then you get Epiphany. And then there's this season after Epiphany that kind of holds the space between the Christmas season and then Lent leading into Easter. But then we move into Ash Wednesday and Lent, which is the 6 weeks or 40 days. It's a little bit more than 40 days because Sundays don't count in the counting. But then you get to Easter, and then there's another 50 days that's all Easter, right? And then you have Pentecost, and then there's this long, and that's about half the year. And then the other half of the year is this long growing season or green season called the season after Pentecost, which brings us all the way through to what we've just experienced this past month, which is kind of like All Saints Day. And then we move in to this final day of the year that they call Christ the King. So that's just a little bit of background if that's not familiar to you. But I have to say I'm surprised that this year was the first time that I learned some of the history around Christ the King. And I found this information in a sermon from Luther and Pastor Heidi Newmark, and she wrote it some 8 years ago, but I think it's helpful. She says, Christ the King Sunday did not exist before, anybody want to hasten to guess? 1925.
No way.
Yeah, it's much later than I thought. Christ the King Sunday did not exist before 1925 when Pope Pius XI wanted to challenge the abuse of authority that he felt was rampant in the 1920s. He hoped that a Sunday devoted to the kingship of Christ would address the problem. Well, it doesn't seem to have worked very well, Heidi notes. And we're not even Catholic, she said to her Lutheran people. We don't need to adopt any decree by any pope. But for some reason, Lutherans, along with many other denominations, got on the bandwagon of Christ the King Sunday. Yay! I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan. I grew up in a diverse neighborhood on the north side of Chicago, where most of my friends were Jewish, and frankly, this whole idea of Christ the King just sounded elitist and wrong. I mean, it's the kind of banter you throw around on a playground. My God could beat up your God. I mean, aren't we too old for that? Generally, I'm not one to heavily rely on other people's sermons for my own. I've probably done it, I was trying to count, maybe 3 times in the last 18 years. But today is one of those days. I was so caught up with some of the things that Heidi Newmark preached on Christ the King Sunday in 2011 to her congregation in Manhattan in New York that I wanted to share some of this with you today. So much of what I'm going to share with you now are more her words than my own. I'm not preaching her whole sermon. You can go look that up online. In today's gospel, Jesus is called the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And on that day in her Manhattan church, Heidi preached that this is a Sunday to show how Jesus redefines power, exploding our normal categories of what is and what is not powerful. Usually a king is imagined in a very specific way. A king dresses in a certain way, and a king lives in a certain way. A king is very rich, powerful, an adult, and male, right? Obviously, she continues, a king is not a man in rags picking through the garbage for cans to sell. Obviously, a king is not a transgender woman. Obviously, a king is not a starving Sudanese child. Obviously, a king is not behind the bars of a women's prison. But in the Gospels, Jesus is identified as king and as being all kinds of people, just like the ones that we've listed. There's that famous text in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was an outsider. I was naked. I was sick and I was in prison. I was in all these people and you did nothing for me. Jesus embodies people across the full spectrum of genders and ages and races. He embodies people who have one thing in common. They find themselves on the margins. On this Jesus is the best Sunday, I want to see him for who he was and who he is. How he preached, he turned either or categories inside out and upside down. blind and seeing, sick and well, pure and poor, pure, impure, I can't even say it, pure, impure, rich, poor, slave, free, all these categories were broken down. And even from the moment of his birth, he broke down the dividing line between human and divine. Jesus was breaking open labels and boxes and dualities that caused all kinds of human misery. And instead, Jesus sought to form a community where all people could experience their belovedness as children of God. No one gets left out. A belovedness, not based on our merits, our anatomy, our sexual orientation, our gender preference, our appearance, our IQ, our racial makeup, or anything else, but only and ever only based on the love of God. A love that breaches every border, that even the defining lines between heaven and earth are broken, that we all might be one loving community. Okay, now this is me talking, true confession. I stumbled upon Heidi's sermon when researching to see if anyone had done anything with gender on this Christ the King Sunday. I Googled Christ the Queen, I did, and I found that I'm not the only one trying to breathe new life into this weird church festival. Heidi does a lot more with this topic than I will attempt today, and I have to say she's quite brilliant. Go look her up. But I will share these last words of hers with you. She asks, King? Queen? What gender is the body of Christ? What gender is the church? None and all, and it doesn't matter. Queer theology and our baptismal theology have a lot in common because they move beyond the imposition of restrictive labels. We are all children. We are all holy, all precious. Jesus was about building a different community, what Martin Luther King called the beloved community, and what the Gospels often call the kingdom of God. But that language brings us back to kings again, and even switching it to queens is not helpful. Perhaps, she writes, we might call it the kingdom of God, a place where we all are kin, because all are related to the love that embraces us and gathers us together. Like Pastor Newmark, I struggle to find words for our Christian identity, for this different, life-affirming kind of community that I believe the gospel intends to embody. And some of us pray Jesus' prayer using this kind of language here at Holden. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. We experiment with these things. We try these things on, trying to embody, to check ourselves, to make sure that the language that we were using does, in fact, reflect the life-giving wholeness that I believe is intended by the gospel. You see, I think we've been fighting with an institutionalized faith for too long. We have forgotten to check back to ensure that the language that we use for the gospel actually embodies what Jesus taught. Because I think a lot of it doesn't anymore. And rightfully so, the church as institution is shrinking, and I give thanks to God. Next week, Advent begins. The 4 weeks leading up to Christmas and Christ's birth. Advent means coming, the sense of arriving. What if we were to open the homes of our hearts and minds to a different understanding of Jesus' story? Many past expressions of faith, many expectations even of the faithful, have not been life-giving as of late. Perhaps they were when they were created, but as time has passed, we have not checked in to ensure that they are indeed embodying the gospel in today's day and age. On behalf of the church, which I love in so many ways, I am sorry for this. But let's not put our energy into something that is not worth our time. Let us put our energy into something that is worthwhile as we await for the coming of this new birth. And let's actually clear out some of the clutter, the baggage, and make room for this new thing that is being born. No child that is born is fully what we expect. Can I get an amen from the parents? Right? So let's not put false expectations on God being born into this world either. In the weeks ahead, let us give Jesus some room to be born anew, for God knows we need it. Amen. Our service continues with the hymn of the day. It's hymn number 735. 735 in your hymn books, and you may remain seated and just. People of every time and place, let us pray for the church, for those in need, and all of God's creation. I will conclude each petition with the words, "Hear us, O God," and you're invited to respond, "Your mercy is great." God, you are our righteousness. Fill us with the hope of steadfast love and shine light on places that were invisible to us, so that we can see your kingdom made visible on earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, your loving presence extends from the black holes of the universe to the single grain of sand. Guide us to sustain and restore all of your creation and to live in peace with this planet. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you bring a way of leadership that honors and provides. Protect the people and countries ravaged by violence, warfare, and hatred, and raise up wise and generous leaders to find their strength in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you are our help in times of trouble. Like a shepherd who guards the sheep, watch over your flock. Those who are sick and hurting in body, mind, or spirit, those who are mocked, those who are lonely. We guard a time of silence now for us to pray for anyone you wish. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, the beginning and the end, we rejoice that one day we will share in the inheritance of the saints. In thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us, especially a past pastor of Holden Village who was here 2005 to 2006. Pastor Larry Huff died on Saturday. And we ask that you guard and care for his family in this time of loss. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing in hope, we lift our prayers to you, most gracious God, trusting that you have received them in your care. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
Hi. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be back up here.
Yes.
Jonah.
How are you? Don't get anything to do with now.
Thank you.
now to the offertory hymn found on page 10 in your worship booklets. Please join in standing for the great Thanksgiving. Presence which have sustained the faithful in this and every generation. Above all, we give you thanks for Jesus, born of Mary, who in word and deed announced your gentle rule of justice, reconciliation, and peace. In the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." remembering his command to love one another, his life and death, his resurrection and his ascension, we pray for his coming again. Send now your Holy Spirit that all of your promises may come to us in your whole creation. Empower us by that same Spirit to love and forgive, that our lives may anticipate that day when you will make all things new. Loving Jesus, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Creator in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table as Jesus is the host. You may be seated. A couple things about how we do communion here. We really desire that there be no barriers between you, and that includes dietary restrictions. So we do have a gluten-free option that will be the first person in line. Otherwise, you can come to me and I will offer you a piece of bread. If you wish, you can dip it in the common cup, but know that you can also just drink straight from the common cup. But if you would like to have your own drinking vessel, you can go to Greta, and then the first pitcher here will be one. Danny's holding, and then Ryan's got grape juice, and then you just put your empty cup there where Andrew's standing. All has been prepared. We invite you to come.
Body of Christ given to me. body of Christ will be bruised. The 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 body of Christ will be bruised. Now may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and hold you in his grace. Amen. We continue with the post-communion song, Thanks Be to You. It's on page 15.
Thanks be to God, mercy, thanks be to you forever. papers if the post-date ever comes due. We sold a good number of gluten-free wares tonight. Well done, yes. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for the blessings of this table. May our lives be made new by these gifts, and may your love be made known through us. The blessings of Almighty and all-loving God go with you this night and always.
Amen.
Go in peace, awaiting newness in Christ.
Thanks be to God.